This is a production of Cornell University.
TA meeting, October 3rd, 2007.
I hope you don't mind me sharing, Carrie. It'll be a little awkward with you over the phone.
That's fine with me. Thanks, Peter.
No sweat. I'll try not to let the power overwhelm me.
Too late.
Yes, I do. Are we all set to go? All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order just to make a note in the minutes that I was chairing today. All right. You know, just for the sake of keeping records straight. Are there any late additions to the agenda from anyone? I think that's a big no. Report from the chair, which is me, I guess. The president's address was really great. Brian Cornell actually did a really fantastic job of opening it up and had a few nice comments to put in regarding staff and the employee assembly, and he just did a good job. He presented Donna Gosselin Award for the Chair Award, Brand EDA Chair Award, which was nice. And then the president had a lot of good stuff to say about, you know, master plans and transportation and all sorts of staff pertinent issues. I'm sure somebody else would do a much better job of describing that. And then he took questions from staff, both questions that Michael offered him via submissions and pockets, and questions from the audience. Dennis, I think you did a really wonderful job yesterday of elucidating the president's address. Maybe you could do it again for the benefit of us. My pleasure.
Sure, I do that. But we have a few people who are not employees, seven members in the room. We go around the room so everyone has a chance to know who's in the room.
It's a good idea.
You want to start?
I'm Peter, and I love introducing myself.
Bill Liddick.
Hi, Epstein.
Don Goff.
Hazel Hall.
Rodney Warren from the University of Summers.
I'm Rodney Warren.
I'm Dennis Stein.
I'm Julie Kerr. From the Johnson Museum of Art.
Right.
A potential
open
play assembly.
Awesome.
Lock the doors.
Never let you go. Not sure if I just have had the distraction, Dennis.
I thought the president did an extremely thorough and effective job of wowing the crowd. His usual mix of liveliness, humor, and feeling. Along with just a very impressive command of the stage and of the language. I think we didn't have as large a crowd as last year. I think last year everyone wanted to come out and see who this guy was. Mm-hmm. Folks had a chance to meet him last year. His weather was wonderful. And I think it was publicized as well as last year. But I think that maybe the edge was just off of it in terms of people who knew who he was. I thought he handled the questions really well. And including the questions from the floor, some reporter shot at what could have been potentially difficult questions to him about living wage and shining workers who are not eligible for employment during periods of time they're off, and he handled that well, I think. So I thought the whole thing was very interesting.
Great. Thanks a lot, Dennis. And I also forgot to mention that Pat offered him and Mary some very nice baskets of goodies from Geneva, jams and fruits. No bottles of wine, I noticed, but...
Can I just add one thing? I just wanted to thank everybody for the award. I appreciate it. The chair award.
We all tried to vote it down, but it just didn't
work out. I was kind of surprised it wasn't a chair. So.
Oh.
We figured out we figured the hammer would be more useful.
So, thank you.
All right. Report from employee trustee. I don't see Michael's not here. I'm not sure if he'll make it or not, so.
Peter?
Yes.
Michael let me know, and it sounds like, as I heard, Brian's not there, so I'd left him a message, but Michael has no report at this time. He wanted to let the rest of the members know that for this meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we'll miss his presence and his, you know, excellent dress style.
Can I just add that the next trustee meetings will be held October 17th, 18th, 19th, along with trustee council meetings.
Great. Report from UA representatives.
I really don't have anything to report in this meeting at this time. We haven't met since the last.
You weren't at the last week's meeting.
Oh, that's true, too.
So we had the T-Guys report that was here.
Mm-hmm.
And the master plan we started talking about, and they're coming back our next meeting on the 24th.
Yes.
To have a more in-depth meeting to talk about the master plan. And I think that was it.
Okay, I have a big question.
Oh.
That's a big question. So the campus master plan will be presented on October 24th to
the UA.
The UA. How is that going to be handled? Is it just the UA? Is it going to be open to all assembly members? Is it? Just tell me a little bit more about the format. Is that on the core team?
That's discussed between the UA liaison and the campus planning committee, who's
mm-hmm.
Randy Wayne.
Yeah, I just met with Jesse Dimmick.
Yeah,
so she wanted me to follow up with you to find out what the date was and what the format was. So
well, she already confirmed a tentative date, October 24th.
She confirmed a tentative date?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
She said she was,
okay.
She was working on it. So.
All right. So, what's your expectation on the 24th?
Maya said that she would present the latest on the campus management.
So, also
Nina's
going to
present. I understood that the only question at this point was juggling Nina's schedule to make sure she could come, but Jesse was optimistic. Jesse is
assistant to the university architect. So can you, and what time is the meeting, and as I said, and who's it going to be open to?
4:30, and our meetings are open to anybody, as far as
I
know.
So I guess that's the other part of my question is, will it be advertised or is it by, the Cornell community? I just wonder how it's going to be.
I don't believe that their intent was to advertise it because they just had the open forums.
Right, yeah.
I think we as an assembly aren't familiar enough with it, and we wanted to hear from Mina about what's going on.
Some of the members have some big questions about campus planning.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere between campus planning, if there's a committee with the university assembly that hasn't presented to them, neither has the master plan. Some of the members had a lot of questions about what's going on with all the construction.
Yeah.
So my opinion of this was that the university assembly was just going to listen to me and present the master plan. I had no idea that there was even the idea of inviting the public and having it be sort of an open forum.
Yeah.
There was discussion about that.
Yeah. It's just for, because we need to come up to speed on what the master plan is about,
uh-huh.
what they're looking at doing, what they've progressed with so far. We need the information on the master plan,
right.
What's happening with it.
So, will the university invite other assembly members, do you think?
That wasn't the plan, I mean.
Okay. Okay, so it's just strictly to the UA. Okay.
But our meetings are open, so.
So basically, she's going to do what she did for us. She came to our assembly meeting and presented what they were discussing and invited us to give our opinion and that type of thing.
That is my assumption.
Okay. I just want to be sure we're all clear, because the people who are planning are not clear. So, all right.
Rodney, do our UA meetings typically attended by large members of the company?
Mm-hmm.
I don't anticipate a lot of public people coming.
Okay.
Because it's basically used, we need to get up to speed on what's happening. We, because we're not familiar with it.
Right. Okay.
Great. Any other comments from UA representatives?
Thank you.
All right. Approval of minutes. Amy sent around minutes, and we also have printed copies on the table there. Does everyone have a chance to look at them? You guys feel comfortable voting on them? All right. Somebody want to make a motion to accept the minutes?
Make the motion that the minutes for Wednesday, September 5th, be accepted as written.
Second.
Second. Any comments, addendums, anything like that? All right. All four?
Aye.
Any against? All right.
I think we have a quorum.
Yeah, we do. We have a quorum.
The
quorum is only four people.
Oh, because we have...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, you got one on the phone.
Yeah, she's being oddly quiet. Automatic abstention from all votes. By reason of tissue. Okay. Committee reports. First one, executive committee. The last exec committee meeting, we actually talked almost entirely about the president's address, planning it, and whatnot. And for, you know, good thing too, because it went up really well. So definitely helped us a lot. Bill, is there anything else that we?
No, that's the main thing to focus on.
Okay.
Yes. Would it be possible for the execs to do a wrap up of the president's address? I don't think that's ever been done before, but since it went off well, there might be some ways that we can standardize some of the stuff that goes on. And that would be helpful for planning it for next year. The executive committee, would you be willing to do that?
You mean internally, just for our benefit for next year? Yeah, we could use something like that. Probably a pretty good idea, and that's actually pretty consistent with the idea we've had lately about trying to put in writing our procedures so that we can be consistent year after year. And I believe farther down we have a discussion about, you know, Bill is going to talk about the REACH project and whatnot, so we'll wait until then for that. Staff Award Recognition Committee, anything to be said for that?
Hasn't met.
All right. Do you have any dates planned at all?
Joe and Brian are trying to report that at time.
Okay. ComCom, the biggest, greatest committee of all time.
Thanks, Peter.
Do you want to make a, do you feel comfortable making a saying from the phone?
I'm fine with that. Can I be heard all right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll just plug our ears.
Perfect. No germ spreading. Well, actually, Peter, I wanted you to give just a brief update on where we're at with the Chili Chat and listening to leaders. I don't know if people had a chance to review that and get you comments back or not yet.
I emailed it out to everyone, and hopefully everyone got it. I didn't receive too many comments back, except from the, you know, from you and Bill. So, did everyone receive that email? I know it was a large document, and I think I just specified which parts of it were revised. So, assuming I don't hear back from anyone in the next day or two, I'd like to send it to Mary before the end of this week, so she can take a look at it, and we could put it online and publicize it, then we can start pursuing recommendations and whatnot. So if I can send that email out again if it got lost in the shuffle. All right.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Yep.
I know that Bill's going to be discussing REACH in a little bit. I think he's further down on the agenda for that. So I'm going to skip the update on that because he'll do it justice. As you might have noticed, the executive committee, at least, I've started to go through and process the staff requests. And the process that we approved was for me to, or the ComCom chair to go through when we receive a request from staff, the exec to meet on the next Wednesday's meeting, look through, and if it's obvious as to which committee you think that request should go to, then the following, you know, within a couple of days, I'll send that request out, the original request from the staff to the chair of the committee that it should be handled by, and then they have a couple of days to get back to me if they don't feel that the request should be in that committee. If I don't hear back from them, then I will send it out to the entire EA, letting them know what where that request fell into what committee. So currently, Donna has received, because she is the chair of
million committees.
Yeah, like a lot of committees. She's been getting flooded by requests that I've been processing. So since I'm not there, I can't give her, you know, a look of like, I'm sorry, but she's there at the meeting and I'm not. So I just want to let her know that I have been, you know, flooding her. We all know all the exec committee knows that, and that it looks like those committees, if you know of anyone who wants to help out on them, some of them are fully staffed and some aren't. And as I mentioned, those, if I don't hear back from Donna within a couple of days, then everyone on the EA will get those same processing requests, just to review and see more what I'm talking about. But definitely within the next couple of months, some of the committees should start to be meeting that haven't had requests on their plate yet. And if anyone's interested in joining the committee, like the Personnel Policy and the Benefits Committee, would be a great time. I'm just going to put in a plug for that.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie, because the Benefits Committee is fully staffed, but the Personnel Policy Committee, also the Education Committee, we really need some help.
Right.
Please. Thank you.
Definitely. And lastly, for ComCom, we've been asked to participate in both the staff celebration event that's coming up this weekend, and I'll be there representing the employee assembly, and I'm not sure if anyone else is going to be attending it or not, but if you are, then that would be great if you wanted to help to represent the employee assembly there this weekend. It's a Saturday event. And we've also been, as you know, we've been asked to start having a presence at the Welcome to Cornell, and the first date on the docket is going to be the very end of October, and I'll send around those dates in an email probably tomorrow when I'm back in at work to see if people can help volunteer and staff a booth at that event as well. So it's an exciting time. We're getting a lot of face time with the community, so that's very exciting for the EA. And that's it for my report.
Awesome. All right. Anything to add to that?
No, I'll talk about ritual later.
Okay. Finance. What? It's coming up on the agenda later on. Best for our conversation. It's under new business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. Finance.
Okay, the Finance Committee has not met. I do have a couple items, though. But real quickly, also on the Finance Committee, with Sebastian leaving the EA, we're down to two people ourselves. So that's another committee that could use a little strength, if anybody's interested, just so you know.
Expenditure discussion, though.
Yeah, really.
Strike there we go. The record.
But just a couple quick notes, obviously, with the present address to staff done. The last thing I saw from Romania was coming in around $7,800. $3,200 is in our budget, what we'll be paying, and my understanding is the rest will be coming out of Mary Opperman's office. Just so everybody's aware of that.
Yikes.
Yeah. yikes as in overall cost, or that's what it's been in the past. Actually, this is a little bit lower, slightly lower than what it was in the last couple. $7,800, a rough number. I don't have the exact number with me. That's for everything. It's a little over $8,000. I think
it's usual.
$3,200 is what's in our budget. Also, it's a much smaller piece, but we do have the employee auction coming up this Friday, and we do support that, just the pieces and so forth, and we have $100 in our budget for that. So, Amy, I think I'll talk to you a little bit about that. Because obviously that covers the whole cost of the pieces and so forth, but we'll manage it. Small piece. And that's it.
Great.
I have a question. I'm sorry. I've been here in a couple
questions
of meetings,
good.
So I got to catch up now. I know last year we had an extensive president's address because it was his first one, and we did it with Statler and all of that. But is it the intention that we want to do the same thing every year, the same type of event every year? Because if it is, then I think that we need to think about our budget.
Well, actually, I can jump in on that for a second.
Okay.
First of all, Peggy was kind enough to go ahead and she's put in a budget request next year for actually $20,000. And I know that's still tentative right now, with the idea of two presidents' addresses possibly doing it two times. And we've had internal discussions about possibly moving it to a different location,
uh-huh.
a different venue, from a cost standpoint and so forth. So it hasn't been decided, but all those things that you're
sure.
questioning in your own mind,
yeah.
we are also questioning. We've got to determine, you know, for next year how we want to handle it.
Okay.
Any other questions for Bill? All right. Emergency Grant Fund Committee. Anybody?
We had a meeting last week with Deb Billets, and she has sent out all the requests, the standardized letter that she sends out. There's several items that they've received so far. I think it's on schedule. I think it's going to be just as good as it has been from last year. She has a couple volunteers from the office.
That you mean the auction?
The auction.
Okay.
What did I say?
I thought the fund was the
on.
So I thought there were lots of requests for fund.
No. So everybody pulled together, and I think it's going to be great this year, just as well as past ones. There's another hockey stick for sale, by the way. Autographed gold stick, by the way.
I would add that I just sent out a pocket flash right before I came up about all the items to date that we gathered for the auction. It's a very long list, very impressive list. Lots of good stuff on it. So probably do a finalized list in the morning of the auction.
Great.
And the only thing I'd like to say is everybody just get the word out. As many people as we can.
I know there's going to be an email coming out. I don't know if it's come out yet. Send it for volunteers, for greeters, and that type of thing.
I haven't sent anything out, but I'll suggest.
Deb was going to send it out.
Okay, I'll find out.
So watch for it, and if you can come and assist, we'd appreciate it.
And regarding the Emergency Grant Fund Committee, I've been interested in having an ad hoc committee made between EMG and IOC so we can discuss those charter changes that we had brought up before to clarify the language and charter for how to distribute the awards. So, if it's, you know, whenever in the near future you feel that you have an opportunity at all, you can get together, just, you know, let me know and maybe we can sit down together and draft something out and do that. All right. Personnel policy.
Well, we haven't met yet. And actually, Carrie, I wanted to follow up with you on that because you were going to, well, you had corresponded with Lauren Jacoby.
I had, yeah.
So can you tell me where that stands? I didn't know. It was kind of like we would have a meeting if we had a committee to meet with. I just, you know.
Right. Currently, Donna, where it stands, I believe a few meetings back, there were, I want to say, three people who had volunteered at that meeting to be on the Personnel Policy Committee. So I think you actually have now, oh boy, even sitting around the table, I think that there were some people who had volunteered. I'd have to go back to my list, but I think you currently have about three or four people who are on the Personnel Policy Committee from the EA. And Lauren has sent in an email, three different policies that they were reviewing and wanted feedback from the Personnel Policy Committee of the EA. So what she had requested and where it stands at this time is to have you contact her and schedule a meeting with her. And I think she had written in that email a few other people to propose a meeting to get together to discuss those policies.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'll touch base with Lauren and look at my committee membership.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Donna, what I'm going to do also is probably tomorrow, if I'm back at work, which I think I will be, I'll send out, I'll copy you in on it, but I'll send out that original request that I sent out, I think, just 2 days ago to you with Lauren's email attached to it, and I'll send that out to the rest of your committee members also.
Okay.
Okay.
So a future EA member in the background?
Yeah, sorry, that's my dog.
Somebody bent the door.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Right. I'm looking at our online roster, and I'm not sure if this is up to date or reflects Terry's list in any way, but it says that Pat Mahoney, Peter, and you. And I think there's another person volunteered. There's four people.
Okay.
Okay.
And Donna, maybe you can, whenever you schedule your first meet, you can advertise to the whole EA if anyone interested can attend that.
I will do that.
All right. IOC, that is me. That was purely unintentional. I'm just reading the agenda and seeing what I'm supposed to talk about here. You know, biggest issue for IOC right now is recruiting new members, and we've got the Adam Poprint, and we're looking at other ways to get new members. One idea that we brought up at the last IOC meeting is making some kind of a simple poster that people would hang in their workplace, advertising the open spots on the employee assembly, and then the poster would have for its contact information the person who put the poster up, so that people who see it would say, oh, it's so-and-so who works right next door to me, I can go talk to them about this if they have interest in it. So we're, because we realized that one of the biggest ways that people find out or join the EA is through word of mouth via coworkers or friends who know or are on the EA. So we've been exploring that kind of option. So you can look forward to me sending you something in the near future for you to print out and put up.
I have a question about recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
I touched base with Eileen and talked her through the packet and offered to help her with the whatever she needed, and she hasn't responded back to me since she picked up the packet for Amy. Amy, have you talked to her?
I mailed it to her on campus now, and I put a nice little note that said, don't worry about the date. The packet was from the springtime, and it looks like a lot, but it isn't, and the EA is here to help you with anything you need.
I'll continue to try to touch base with her, because she was really interested,
okay.
And she was really interested in the personnel policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll continue to try to touch base with her.
Okay, great. Yeah, we wouldn't want to lose potential new member. That packet is intimidating, though. Doesn't matter how much sugarcoat it. All right. Any other comments? Carrie, do you have any comments about IOC?
I was wondering if when we did the once around earlier to see who was there, it was tough for me to hear the people in the back. Is Nancy Leonard there? By any chance?
Nope.
No. Okay. Well, she approached me at the president's address because of what it said on the pamphlets that we handed out, the agendas. And so there's another person who may be attending the next upcoming meeting. And there was one other thing, too. We discussed, the October 17th meeting, which is the next one, is David Scorton and Mary Offerman will be attending. So I'd really strongly encourage our current members to talk to people who they know, reach out to people, and that would be a great meeting for new people to see and be part of. So please bring bring friends, bring someone who has expressed any interest, and just try to get the word out there and get some new people in here to expose them to VA and the good things that we do. Here's my plug. Thanks.
Okay, and I do have one question. I know by the charter there's certain groups of employees we're trying to hit and so forth, and I know we're trying to really not bring anybody we can, but I'm just wondering, is there, for the areas that we don't have covered at all on the charter, is there anything we can do to focus in those areas or try and get information out to people in those areas and so forth to try and get really the right mix of employees, I guess, on the employee assembly? I mean, I know we want to get people in here, but and it's kind of a general question. I'm not sure how we would do it, but I don't know if anybody has suggestions.
I think that's a good point. I think that was Bill was talking, and
yes.
Peter and I discussed that a little bit at the last IOC meeting, and what I'm thinking is on that poster that Peter's drafting right now is to put in the positions that we are seeking, so whether it's contract or non-exempt, et cetera, and just put something on the poster that says that those are the positions that we're looking to fill. But to contact us regardless of that as well. So that's one way if we stretch closer to the campus with those, we can position them strategically.
Well, speaking of positions strategically, I guess excuse me if this is just kind of ignorance, but I'm trying to think where are the contract employees and making sure to get the posters up in those areas so that they see them and whatnot. You know, I think it's good to put it in our areas, but I think we also, if we can get it into the right areas, it would be good also. So I'm thinking, yes.
My area is one of the contract areas.
It's got plaster with posters, wallpaper.
The tough part is, Bill, is I agree with you, and contract, I don't know if there's actually like a specific building or something to exactly target, because, you know, like, I think you're a contract, I think, too. So, I mean, they're kind of intermingled and spread out throughout the entire university. So if I get permission, then I'd like to put some even in, you know, the bus stop areas as well. So I think as much coverage as we can get across the campus is probably our best plan at this point. But any type of feedback that IOC would love to hear. And Peter, I don't know if you want to comment more on that.
Oh, sounds good. We'll hopefully next IOC meeting we'll be able to flesh out a few more details.
Yeah, just to make sure, because Carrie, just what you said at the end there, I'm not by any means saying hold back in any areas.
Mm-hmm, right.
Put them up everywhere, but I'm just saying if there's areas we know we can, you know, also hit that maybe we're not in the buildings or whatever that we can do, it would be good to do.
Right. I agree. Any suggestions are definitely welcome.
How are we planning on distributing the posters?
What Peter and I talked about was that he's going to be distributing them, you know, via probably PDF and email to the current EA member so that we can print them and post them in our representative areas around campus. And then for the areas that we're lacking, I'll go around and actually either distribute them, you know, put them up on the poster boards myself, or I have contact Cheryl McGraw, who has building ambassadors and most of the buildings on campus, and I was planning on getting in touch with her to help them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are networks that we could tap into that we really should utilize. Cheryl is certainly one of them with building ambassadors, but there are also building coordinators for every single building on campus. There are HR representatives in most buildings on campus, and I mean, I think we should try to look at those resources to network. I mean,
right.
If it's just a PDF and sending an email, you send them to a whole bunch of different listers and just ask people to post them.
Right. Do you know who would be a good resource for the building coordinator? I know that HR reps and Cheryl.
I guess that would be me.
You kind of walked into that one, didn't you?
I guess that would be me. Through customer service in facilities, we have a listserv that we can hit the building coordinators. And those are folks who set up posters in buildings all the time.
Okay. great, Donna. I'll be in touch with you on that.
One more email from Carrie.
Yeah.
I have like this list of Carrie's emails.
All right.
Carrie file.
Any other questions for IOC? No? Okay. University benefits.
University benefits committee has not met yet this year. That's on an academic calendar, kind of like we are. So I'm expecting there to be a meeting called soon. Generally, Paul Bursick is the one who arranges that. And you'll remember, or some of you will remember, from last spring, the hot topic for us was discussing retiree medical benefits and their prescription drug plans. So that's where we're going to pick up again this fall. So I'm expecting there to be a meeting scheduled really soon. I can follow up with Paul to find out when that might be, but I expect it to be anytime.
All right. Employee education. See you again.
Actually, I received an email from Gary Boyer from Empire State College just yesterday. He still is looking to do some outreach on the campus to help promote the Empire State College program. He attended the seed event that we had and handed out brochures, and that was all great and successful. They would like to do a little bit more, I use this loosely, targeted marketing campaign to Cornell staff and get brochures out to people. The last effort, I think, that Gary made was he had talked with folks in OHI, I believe it was Maureen Brill, about getting together and trying to establish a regular presence on campus like TC3 has. I think they do it on a weekly basis in Day Hall. So Empire State College would kind of like to join forces with them and have a representative here at that same time. And so some people would like TC3 for the associate degree, but Empire State College, you can actually get a graduate degree from there. So that's where we're at right now. And I don't really have too many questions. Yes.
Can you just ask, one of the questions that the president addressed was about increasing Cornell's share of employee tuition costs. Has that been brought up in your committee at all? Working on?
You know, I was actually kind of surprised to hear Mary's response to that, because if they've been looking at it, or the employee education committee really hasn't been involved. So that was, I mean, I don't know how generally Mary was speaking there, if it was general or specific.
Would you feel comfortable sending her an email?
Because as any of you who've been on, you know that this has been a pet peeve of mine. So I'm happy that it's getting some attention, but I haven't been involved in any of the discussions about that benefit.
The other members of the education committee that we have right now are, I don't know, Sebastian DiGiorgio also resigned from that committee, but...
He resigned from the employee assembly.
That doesn't mean that he necessarily has to resign from the committee, right?
Right.
Yeah. And Brian Cornell. And I think that these lists came from the email that Peter sent out in June, which was next to the committees at that point.
So what I'll do then, just in closing, is to follow up with an email to Mary, if that's okay with all of you, and just say that I was glad to hear her talk about that. But, and I don't know what our agenda looks like for October 17th, but since it came up at the president's address, maybe that's something we want to talk about at our meeting with Mary and Dr. Schwartz and them. I already have an agenda, so I just throw that out there.
Sounds good. We can throw out the agenda for next time when they're here.
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions for employee education? Mm-hmm. All right. EMS presentation. That's that. We have to wait for them to arrive. Okay. They know what Truman is and all that?
Yeah.
All right, they're not going to be deterred by this closed door?
Okay. Either they were given information as to what time to arrive and where to be at.
Okay.
They should have been there already, so I don't really know.
They are here.
They're here.
Oh, there we go.
Felt ostracized by the closed door.
We want to enter
us. We're not doing anything for them, don't worry. All right, so EMS presentation.
Yep. Where would you like us to just stand, or?
You can stand, you can sit, do whatever you like.
Okay, all right. Well, my name is Alec Johnson. I am the director of Cornell EMS. This is Randall Lamesh on my right, and the ambulance are both finance and scheduling officer.
Hi.
We wanted to come to you guys just briefly and kind of introduce ourselves as an organization. I don't think many employees know much about us. We are a BLS, which is basically like for the first response group here at Cornell. We respond to between 500 and 600 emergency calls on the campus every year, dealing with everything from, you know, a minor I cut my toe to the more serious cardiac arrest or forced rescues or things along those lines. We've been doing a lot of working with tests and semesters, kind of doing outreach stuff along those lines. Our membership is open to undergraduate students, graduate students, faculty, staff, and alumni. Currently, we actually have faculty members with us. We don't have any staff members. We're hoping to kind of do a little bit more outreach too. I'm sorry. Do a little bit more outreach towards staff members of the university, because it's a large school. Obviously, we are funded by the undergraduate and graduate student assemblies. They provide our financing, which is for our budget, which keeps us in service. We do about 20,000 volunteer service hours every year. So we have a crew on 24 hours a day, 7 days a year, when academic school is in session. That's just because the way our staffing level works, that we can only really be in service then. When we are not in service, campus is covered by the fire department and bank ambulance, which is downtown. We offer all our services free of charge. Obviously, anyone who's on Cornell property is within the scope of our service. For stable patients, we transport them to either Gannett or to Cayuga Medical Center across the lake. But for somebody that would require more interventions on the way, medical intervention, they're transported by bank ambulance. They're a paramedic, they're a case service. But it will cost you upwards of $700 to be transported by them. You know, again, we're just coming in front of you guys today to kind of introduce ourselves as an organization. We've been doing a lot of planning with the Cornell administration after the events of Virginia Tech. One of the big things we've been pushing is basically doing MAC casualty incident protocols, which is planning for large scale disasters. We actually worked with risk management at the university to purchase a MAC casualty incident unit I can pass the vote around if you're curious, which is a large trailer. About $50,000 piece of equipment that's designed to treat upwards of 50 to 100 patients in the event of a large scale disaster. A similar one was actually tested at Virginia Tech and was used by the Virginia Tech Rescue Squad, which is really similar to our organization when there was the event there. We've been doing a lot of drilling and things like this, you know, planning for something that obviously would have never happened. This is actually going to be hopefully in the news in the next couple weeks. This is actually the only unit of its kind in Thompson County. Thompson County doesn't have any very large-scale response to a big emergency like this. There's really no large amount of equipment except for just a small storage thing out by the airport. This is the only thing, again, that is the only one that is in Thompson County, and obviously it's used for Cornell, but we're making it available to all the other surrounding towns and cities. Just obviously, it's a resource that, something happens up in Lansing or out in Newfield, we might be able to help out down there. So that's just briefly about us. Just wanted to kind of show you guys and speak about it briefly. I don't know if you have any questions for our organization or anything along those lines, but we just wanted to come again and introduce ourselves and say hello.
I have a question. So can you explain what your connection with the Gannett Health Center is and how you work with them?
The way we work is it's an interacting relationship. We're affiliated with both Gannett and then also with Environmental Health and Safety. Environmental Health and Safety is responsible for kind of fire protection and hazmat and things like that at the university. And then Gannett, obviously, is the health center. Our medical director is actually a doctor at Gannett, and we're overseeing through there. And then we also have advisors in Environmental Health and Safety like that. Our goal is actually to become
more and more integrated. We're doing a lot more pushing to that recently to make sure we get tied up with them. A lot of, you know, in terms of disaster planning and things like that, you know, we work with them incredibly closely.
So as part of the disaster planning, have you been talking about the pandemic flu?
Right. That's really being headed off by Janet Korsmaker, Dr. Janet Korsmaker, who's the director of Connect.
Right.
She's actually going to be integrating some pandemic flu stuff into this.
Okay.
I don't deal a lot with the pandemic flu planning. It's not so much emergency response as like quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
But I have read about it, and I do look at it quite a bit. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. Said you're trying to reach out to staff. Were you hoping that we would be able to distribute any information on your behalf right
now? I didn't bring anything with me today. We have a website, which is pretty easy. It's cuems.cornell.edu. So you're just replacing www with Cornell University EMS, CUEMS.
And there's information on there about how to volunteer for Nixon?
Absolutely. We have a membership drive. We get up about 100 applicants for about 20 spots. We can take for a lot of time and energy and money into new members, so we can only take a certain amount every semester. But we are always looking for staff and faculty, which are our smaller percentage of our squads will apply.
Have you had staff in the past?
Yes, we have. We have had staff members. Specifically, you can be a member of Cornell EMS if you're affiliated with the university. So if you're a staff, faculty, again, a student here, or even alumni, come back and serve with us.
Okay. How many active members do you have now?
Right now, 80. 80 active members. Mm-hmm.
Are the restrictions of areas where they can, a lot of the workers that work here don't live anywhere near the campus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a restriction of
driving
time?
I'm confused by your question.
Some staff that work for me are already EMS.
Right.
Say the firefighters,
right,
et cetera,
exactly.
But a lot of them live, Groton, Hartford. So you have a mileage restriction of.
The way it works for us is that we have between two and three people who are dedicated to a crew in a certain 4-hour block. So that means that they are on call during that time. We don't respond from home or things like that. We have people who are in our vehicle or in our office at all times. The reason for that is our response time anywhere on campus is just over a minute, as opposed to, closer to 10 minutes if you were to get, an ambulance from downtown or something like that.
Okay.
So we're real quick, and that's something that makes us, kind of vital to the university that we can get there quickly and do intervention quickly.
How many members are on active duty at a time?
It's between, 3 and 4 on average, yes, the number of people that are on. That just makes it helpful to have a bunch of hands. Sometimes we only have one person when we have weird staffing levels. But whenever we're at a call, also there's a Cornell police officer and a member of Environmental Health and Safety. So there are at least going to be 3 people there at any call that can help out.
So how many hours per week is the average member on call?
The average member, I would say the average member runs, maybe 1 to 2 shifts a week, so maybe 4 to 8 hours a week. But, when you're on call, it doesn't mean that you're, you're sitting there doing things. A lot of people bring work with them to do or, watch TV or read a book or even run errands around campus. I go, shopping at the TNC sometimes when I'm on shifts. Within our response district, I haven't gotten called out in the middle of buying groceries yet. So as long as we're within the Cornell vicinity, we don't go past something like East Hill Plaza or past our campus if we want to stay very centrally located.
So how would that work for a staff member who wanted to volunteer? Could the person volunteer while he or she was working?
You would have to be doing it on extra time. It would not be something that you could do while here and being employed during the work hours. You would have to be with the crew and be able to not have any other commitments.
One other question I have, how about training? If you want to join and you're not an EMS person?
We don't require you to be an EMT to join. We require you to become an EMT within 1 year of joining the squad. The way New York State actually works is that if you're already on a squad and then you want to take the EMT class, New York State actually subsidizes the cost of the class. So they absorb it. You can actually take the class here at Cornell. It's taught, and I think it's $700 here, but New York State absorbs that cost if you want to take it. Just because obviously they want to promote the number of first responders they have.
They have to be New York State residents?
I don't believe so. No, you don't have to. As long as you're part of the squad. I live in Connecticut, and they've paid for me for two classes now. So, or at least I haven't gotten a bill back. I was going to say that. So, and it's been a couple of years now. So hopefully, you never know with New York State sometimes they're a little slow. But,
From a time standpoint, what's the class incorporating? Is it a semester class?
When you're brought onto our squad, we have like 2 days of work, like a day of CPR training. We train all of our people the first day on being professional rescuers, CPR and AED, and then we have orientation. And then we have like a new member class, which meets about an hour Sunday afternoon, trying to get at the time that everyone can meet. And there's five of those classes, which are kind of orientation and people who aren't EMTs that kind of teaches you the basic things you need to know in order to have out on call and things like that. Alright, are there any other questions? Say goodbye, but we just want to stop by again, offer it out to you guys.
Great.
But
thank you.
Great, thanks
for the information.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good information.
Good work. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Stay classy. Anybody here want to volunteer?
Right now? Donna's not doing much.
Sunday afternoon. What else am I doing Sunday afternoon?
That little vest for Spanish.
Oh, that's right.
You'd be rescued by Pete Goss. Okay, on to old business. I was seeking a UA rep. How many spots do we have open right now? One, two?
Two.
Anybody want to volunteer? We can go through this at least one third time. Bill's on there right now.
Yes.
Rodney. And we have and Pat. Anybody here want to volunteer to be on the UA? I'm not sure if there was any discussion for this topic that you wanted to bring up besides just asking for volunteers.
No, Tanner, I just left that one and the next one on the agenda because the spots aren't filled yet, but I realize that there are we're at such a low number right now that I think they're just going to stay on the agenda so we know that
okay.
They're not filled.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right, and CJC, anybody? All right. New business, inclement weather policy committee update. Pat is not here. Does anybody know anything about this to throw any information in? All right, so we'll put that under old business for next time, Terry.
Okay.
That's employer conversations. I sent you guys an email a week or two ago about this, but I didn't really know very much about it back then. We actually met yesterday with Marguerite and Linnell, Chappelle Williams, and Nancy Doolittle, and a couple other people. And me and Bill were both there, and Amy was there, and Peggy was there. I brought stuff with me. So the first one is scheduled for October 8th at noon, this coming Monday. It's going to be at Willard Strait Hall. The next one is the 15th at Appel Commons, also at noon. And the third one is at November 15th?
No,
the 5th. November 5th at Statler at noon. I think we've already gotten all the logistics figured out or on the way to being figured out, food, location, all that they want from us, our volunteers, to help facilitate. I've already agreed to do the bulk of the facilitation, opening, facilitating questions and all that, and I think Bill's also a volunteer. It's time to come to all three events. So just if anyone else is interested in coming to one or two or three of the events to just help,
yeah,
you know, walk around, help
yeah,
people,
just
be available. Okay. Okay, so
I sent it out on Oracle for everybody.
Yeah, it should already be on your calendar.
Okay,
so if you
good.
Can show up, show up.
Okay. Michael.
Great. I don't think we talked about any sort of dress code, but it's going to be an informal lunch, so I don't think it's that important. Amy, do you have name tags for us? Okay, so that should be good enough. So whoever showed up, then will be there at noon on Monday. We'll have that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Amy, do you still have spots for the Monday?
How
many people are signed up so far?
Last I looked yesterday afternoon, we were about 20.
About 20. What's the max?
We were hoping to get around 50.
We don't have a cap, though.
There's no cap.
Okay, I'll put out a pop for flash.
Does everyone know what this is about, by the way? I might have forgotten that. Okay. The, Cornell, once again, was received a reward for being one of the best places for people over 50, one of the best employers for people over 50, and by Working Mothers magazine for one of the 100 top employers for working mothers. So the purpose of these lunches is to, first of all, you know, give the information out to people so they're aware of it, but also to, you know, find out how they feel about it, their comments, and, you know, regarding those things. We just want to, you know, basically, or rather Marguerite and Mary and those peeps want to find out how people feel about these awards. You know, it's just kind of an informal discussion, and I guess we'll see what we learn from them. Do you have anything to add, Bill or Amy? About that?
No.
Okay.
Did anybody come to these, or are you just looking for people over 50?
Nope. Open, open to all staff.
Okay.
I know the president, when he mentioned it on Monday, he made it sound like it was only open for working mothers and people over 50, but it's open to everyone. Reach, Bill.
Reach. Okay, I had a document over on the table. I don't know if people have grabbed it, but I have
everyone
some copies
here.
Everyone
picked it
up.
They're all
everyone
got it.
I've got some extra copies here if anybody does need it. And I really kind of just want to talk a couple ideas. Maybe if I see one when we did our retreat.
Facility services, everything else.
Yeah. I know. And that's when we'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, when we had our retreat, one of the things we talked about quite a bit was reach and how we reach out to the staff and the employees, and can we do a better job. And I've been working with a little bit, and I've been talking to some people on an individual and small group basis, but I kind of want to bring it forward and formalize it a little bit, and I'm actually struggling, floundering a little bit, so I could use a little help. So what I want to do is kind of go through this. There's a lot of questions on here. They're not all to be answered right here. I really want people to take this with you, think about it, and I'd like to get input back from individuals on what you think. But anyway, so what I've got on that first page there, some questions that have been coming up about reach. I've heard from several different people. I've heard from the executive committee. I really should have that first question as the fourth one. It really is. You know, who are we reaching right now? How are we reaching these people? You know, who is not being reached? And based on the answer to those questions, then how do we improve reach? How do we, you know, get out to the maximum number of staff? So I've been trying to go at it a couple ways of just looking at one, a visual approach, and the other one is more of a reach by listservs and so forth. I'll talk about that in a minute. But on the visual approach, just because I like pictures, I guess, I don't know. I was trying to look at and say, where are the employees located physically, and where are they in relation to the employee assembly members? So if you look at the page behind, it's the map. It's not complete. I'll be very honest. I look at it, and I'm trying to decide, is it really doing anything for me? And that's really a question for you guys as well, is does it really benefit anything? But basically what it shows is where the employee assembly members are located. And I'll use the big blue box at the top. You have BL for Bill Liddick and HH for Hazel Hall. And the big box kind of represents campus life, which is 650 employees. Now, to Donna's point just a second ago, you know, her group's all over the place. Well, campus life to some extent is all over the place too. So it's not, it's by far not a perfect representation. So I want to make sure people are aware of that. It's kind of where the concentration of people are, but it definitely does not capture all of campus life for that example. And then you'll see some other people. So I have defined, in talking to some individuals, specifics. Like for myself and Hazel, I know that campus life is 250 people, which is over in the right-hand column. And then we are part of student and assembly services, which is roughly 1,200 people.
For Brian Cornell, who's at the top of the list there in green, he's in the College of Arts and Architecture and Planning, and he's told that there's 47 staff. So the idea is to try and identify where are, what I hear is about 8,000 to 9,000 staff members, you know, where are they located physically. So the questions I have on it, on the front page there are, and this is for all you members to take and review, assuming we get this thing filled out completely, you know, is this information useful? Can we really do anything with it? And I honestly am still questioning it myself. And if so, how? And then also, should there be other information on the document? Is there anything that we could put on here that might help us out? So, again, I'm not asking answers right here, but I'd appreciate if you really take a look at the document, come back with some feedback. And Carrie, I hope you can see it okay through the phone, but I'll make sure you get a copy. Obviously, the latest rendition I have, and everybody else that's not here, I'll send it around.
Thanks, Bill.
So anyway, that's one half. Are there any general questions on it? Again, I don't want to get into specifics. I want you guys to think about it. But are there any general questions on it that anybody has on that piece of it?
I have a correction.
Correction.
Your division is student and academic services.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Too much assembly work.
Phil, I think you've done a good job here kind of identifying, I guess, the easiest target first. So that's how I see this map.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're in a building, then it's easier for you to see people. And,
yes.
You know, like we were talking about, word of mouth is a great way to recruit people. So that helps there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just wanted to give you that encouragement.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
For doing
thanks,
that.
Thanks.
Because it is helpful. And I think just having the map is really helpful because... hopefully it'll help us think about how we can start to make some connections.
Yeah. Well, I am hopeful too, actually. I mean, I'm still looking at seeing them. I get as much out as I want, but I think, you know, I do think just seeing the relationship of where we are and where this, the employees are in general and so forth. And I would like to, when this is done, have, even if we're not representing the area, have all employees represented on here, be able to show it. Just like, well, the yellow space for the College of Hotel Administration, which is 250 people, is not represented right now.
Mm-hmm.
So should I
hang a poster right there?
So, you know.
So if I can make a comment,
sure.
I would echo what Don said, that this has never been tried by the employee assembly before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good effort to try to get at where you are having impact and where you need to look to have additional impact. West Campus, I think you could say West Campus is probably under Campus Life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a bulk of an additional area on campus that does have representation. I think the next step for this would be to figure out what are the logical groupings of where you don't have reach. That is the art squad. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could use dotted lines around a large area that art squad. That way you can target, if you know that the art squad would be an area which would cover a lot of people, arts and sciences, then you know that's where you want to go to get some representation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, and I know that's the next step for this, but I think that's the next bit of work to really make this thing useful, to move to the next step, and then you can use it as a guide for recruiting.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's a possibility, definitely. Speaking of the areas that are not represented, I don't know the university that well. I do not know, quite honestly, the context to go to try and hit those areas. I don't know if anybody has any suggestions on how we... basically, what we want to find out is how many staff are in the different areas of campus, whether it's by college, whatever breakdown it is, but... I don't know if anybody has thoughts on who might be the right people to contact.
I think HR would have some of that information, but first you want to take your groupings first.
Mm-hmm.
You want to figure out what are the natural groupings where there is not representation, for example, the College of Engineering. And once you identify the College of Engineering as one of your target groupings, then it would be possible to go back in and find out how many people work in it.
Okay, and I'm going to...
I mean, Peter probably has access to the Peter?
I'd be able to snaggle some.
Your point, that's one of the things I've actually been thinking through in my own mind, again, is the natural groupings. What is the natural grouping? I mean, one thought in my mind is the colleges are, you know, each of the colleges is a grouping in itself, and then beyond that, you know, how it fits. So maybe what we want to do is try and, you know, get all the colleges on here and the number of employees associated with that, and then we can see what's left and break it down. And then, yes, within your area, Donna, you know, if you have information on the number of staff or something.
Sure. There are, in facility services, there are 1,100 people.
Yes, and then we'll just keep building on it from there. So I would try very hard to, Peter, if you can work with me a little bit, try hard to see if we can fill this in more by the next meeting so that we present it again, and then go, you know, take it the next step from there.
Mm-hmm.
And see
if it would be helpful, I'd be willing to work with you on groupings.
That's excellent. I'd be glad to. I'll give you.
Just
send
me an email for my
meeting.
And just one more thing. I mean, because I'm in facility services, and that's a part of of CUPA. So there are, I have, when we're talking about grouping.
groupies. Yeah, the groupies.
you know, it's Division of Financial Affairs, it's audit, it's investment, it's the real estate office, you know what I mean? So that's like I would have a natural kind of connection to those folks who are, well, some of them aren't even on this map. So, you know, so that's the kind of thing. But Dennis, if you're going to work with Dennis, you know.
And that's it. And so definitely I'll work with all three of you, and we'll see what we can put together. And speaking of people not on the map, you'll notice over on the side there, I just put downtown as a block, I put Geneva as a block, and if there's things that aren't on here, we got to make sure we do capture those and where are they located. And, yeah, we want to capture all the employees on this. Okay? Well, great. I appreciate the input. I appreciate the extra people offering to help. So we'll work this through and see what we get out of it. Now, the second half of it is there's been discussion of improving reach and some different ideas, and it's all they are so far as ideas. One goes back to the question of understanding who we reach, and there's, you know, and I actually kind of brought up this idea of reviewing the methods of reach right now and how they overlap. I mean, we know there's Paw Print, there's Paw Print Flash, there's Listers, other things that go out. Again, it's trying to get back to we have these different things going on. But I still, in my own mind, I don't have any feel for when we send out information, are we hitting 1,500 people, are we hitting 3,000 people? And part of the reason for that is when we send out information, we're sending out on different avenues, but we don't know how much those avenues overlap.
Sorry.
That's okay, when we use the different listservs and so forth. And so I haven't gone anywhere with that yet, except that the idea is there. And again, it's another one I'm trying to figure out how to get my hands around, if it makes sense to do. But it's really trying to take a concentrated effort of here's the different ways we reach employees, who is it that we're reaching by each of these methods, and how does it overlap, and how many are we actually getting to. And again, being relatively new here, I'm not even sure how we go out and reach employees. I know Paw Print, I know the Flash, and I've heard different listservs, but I'm not sure what's the best way to try and gather up. Here's the different ways we try to reach employees, and here's who's on those lists. I mean, if I could get the list, I could easily do an analysis to say, here's the overlap, here's how many people are hitting up wrong. I don't know what people's thoughts are on it. To me, it's a logical thing to do. And I guess it's a question of how to identify the different ways we go out and reach employees, and then is there an actual list that we can get from each one of those and put it together? Right? Is there anybody that can help me with that, or any thoughts on that idea?
I'm the keeper of the Popper Flash list. I don't have a problem if you wanted to take a look at who the Popper Flash subscribers are. We've never done that ourselves, so your analysis would be helpful to us to see who the Popper Flash list is reaching, but it will be fairly boring. So in terms of there's 1,600 or 1,700 people.
If you have a list of email addresses from that ID, I can generate a report to get their breakdown by their
to where people are.
Yeah, but whatever location or job title or
salary
well,
level.
Well,
no, let's stay away from that.
There we go.
So that would be helpful as far as breaking it down by area, but there's a lot of people that have net IDs that never check their email. You know, because who I am is a big topic now, and there's a lot of staff that didn't even know their net IDs. They've never used it.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know how accurate that number of who you're reaching.
Well, at least it tells us how many we're getting out to. You're right. It's very hard to tell who was actually looking at it. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, and this is, I'm saying this personally, but I mean, for the EA, I want to know how many are we actually getting out to. Whether they're all actually looking at it,
yes.
You can never guarantee that.
Right.
But if we realize that when we look at these lists, we're really only reaching 2,500 people, and we've got 8,000 or 9,000 employees,
right.
Then, hey, we're missing a big chunk of people that we've got to figure out how to reach. And that's what I'm trying to get to. I really hadn't actually thought about it from an area standpoint, but obviously if we had the data, you know, we could do that. As far as trying to find area and stuff, if Peter could help with that, that would be great. As far as analyzing the people, if we have different lists and saying who's matched between those lists, that's a very easy thing for me to do in an Excel database or an Access or something. I can put that together pretty quick. That's not time-consuming at all. Something I'd be comfortable with doing. So we have the Paw Print Flash. I know you have that, and we get that list. But again, I guess we got to identify whether, you know, when we have the president's address, you know, what ways is that going out, and can we get that information of who's on this list of where it's going to, and do an analysis. If I get the list, I can do an analysis, but I'm not sure how to get the list.
And I'm not sure that it's gotten out of the other list, except Popper and Flash.
Yeah.
You know, Popper and Flash does include all of the members of the HR community.
Yeah.
So those are all the human resource representatives and directors out in the colleges and units.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectation is when something like this goes to them, then they forward it to all the other people in their unit. So you could say initially Popper and Flash has a 1,600 to 1,700 subscriber list, but then the penetration is greater than that because people forward it on. So if somebody in human ecology gets it, the expectation is that person is expected to then send it around to everybody within human ecology. So then you get another couple hundred people who are not on Popper and Flash, but the penetration
yes.
It's 130.
Yeah.
So we only have one more item left on the agenda, so maybe we can get a motion to extend by a couple minutes that Carrie can give her blurb.
Peter, I don't even know. What is it on there?
Oh, Employee Celebration Day.
No, I already mentioned it in the com, so I'll
okay.
Talk about that. Thanks.
All right, great. So we're done? And you have a chance to add, Bill?
Just real quick. Again, look over that document, but also think about the ideas down below, and I'm looking for any help there as to, you know, again, exploring who are we reaching, and is there a way we can do a better job of reaching out and make sure we catch them.
So are you sort of an ad hoc committee of one?
I am part, well, it's part of the it's part of the communication committee.
Because it also overlaps with IOC.
Yes, it does.
Too, so
it does. And we've really been talking about it in the communication committee as part of that.
Good job.
Okay.
Anybody have any announcements to make before we close? No? Okay. Motion to adjourn, anybody?
I make the motion we adjourn the meeting. Second.
All right. Adjourn.
Thank you.
Bye, Carrie.
Bye-bye. Thank you for sharing.
Get better.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.